This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Habam. Today's shir is dedicated by our dear friend Rav Daniel Mamon in honor of his father's yahrzeit this evening. Binyamin Zev Ben Reb Shmuel, Neshama Shavin Aliyah, Began Eden, Timnu Chasa, Yishvi Amel Tzoysher, for his whole family, for Simcha Sanachas, Ad Biasgol Tzedek. Perhaps you saw the initiative we began about phones in a base medrash. Now, we're not pro, by the way, not pro phones in the base medrash. You saw the video? It wasn't easy. Trump was very busy, and when I contacted, you know, his administration, if he could, join the video, he said he's going to drop everything. Iran, Russia, China, just to be able to participate in this important initiative. Because he felt this is the most important thing in the world, that, you know, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, that we show honor to the Shul. So very appreciative of him, also of Prime Minister of Israel, agreed to join the initiative. And they're all very supportive. And it's Davar Yafa Be'itai, because I think Re'ei Anoichi Noisein Lefneichem Hayayim Bracho Klala. You know, there are two paths in life. You could take the path of blessing. And by the way, don't just watch it. Sign up not to bring it into this shul, into other shuls. And you could take the path of blessing or the opposite. So please take a look at the presentation and please make sure that you sign up, because the Jewish people cannot wait any longer. Okay, Parshas Re'eh, we're going to do something very interesting today. Re'eh ani noisein lefneichem, this particular volume, you see this? This is the commentary of the Malbim on Sefer Devarim. This was my grandfather's Malbim that he brought over from Europe. It's beautifully bound. It's really amazing that the Svarim published over 100 years ago are in sometimes much better condition than Svarim published 30 years ago. Here it does not say the year of the publication. Oh. Tafresh Nun Beis. That's 1892. That's more than 100 years ago. Actually, I have all my grandfather's notes in this one. And in the intro, this is actually just a total side point. My grandfather was in the middle of working on a biography on the Malbim. This is the table of contents. You know about this? Not fun. The Malbim, the man and his work. So anyway, we're working on putting together all of his notes to make this biography on the Malbim. In any event, I want to share with you the Malbim on Parshas Re'eh. Very beautiful and powerful words of the Malbim. We're going to examine three ha'aros of the Malbim. The parasha begins, Re'eh anoichi noisein lefneichem hayom bracho klala. See that I place before you today blessing and curse. What do you mean see? What's Ribbono Shel Olam getting at? See. See, I place before you today blessing and curse. Says the Malbim, in Parshas Ekev, the main subject matter is all the blessing in store for people who keep the mitzvahs. Now, that blessing, was it talking about what's going to take place in Gan Eden, in Olam Haba? You're going to have rivers of Afar Samoin? Not one word about Olam Haba in Parshas Ekev. It talks about Ubeirachecha, Veherbecha, Ubeirach Privitnecha. Hashem's going to bless your fruits and your children and your grain and your cattle. And lo yebecha akar va'akara, you'll be fertile, you won't be ill, Hashem will remove all sickness. It's all about reward in this world. The whole Ekev is about reward in this world. And then later on, in the end of Ekev, in the parasha of Shema, v'hoya im shamaya tishmua mitzvaysai asher anoichi mitzvah, it's going to rain and you're going to have ample produce. The whole Ekev is about reward in this world. Says the Malbim, Hashem says, look, I'm placing before you today in this world blessing and curse. This is not like other religions. This is not like Christianity or Islam, where they promise you schar ba'olam haba. If all the person is offered is reward in the world to come, who could actually have complete faith in that. People will be doubtful. People will be question that. It's impossible to have absolute faith in something in some foreign world. So therefore, the Rebbeinu Shlom emphasizes the Klal Yisrael. Re'ei Anoichi Noisein Lefneichem Hayoim Bracha Uklala. This is not like the other religions that the promise is La'achar Hamavas. Says the Malbim, whatever is promised La'achar Hamavas, Le'tisyashiv Belev Ha'oived Ki Chzarze Einoi Nira Le'einayim Ve'yucha Kalish Le'histapik Boy Lo'ichin Schar Oilam Hazeh. Okay, that's the emphasis on Re'ei. Anoichi noisein lefneichem hayoim. It's davar goloi, and it's right now. Now, one thing we need to address is schara b'haya amaleka. So, with all this emphasis on the reward in this world, but there is no reward in this world. The end of Eschanan is hayoim la'asoisa mumachar l'kabel scharam. Friday night we discussed that actually the end of Eschanan and the beginning of Re'ei openly contradict each other. So Eschanan ends hayoim la'asoisa mumachar l'kabel scharam. You get the reward tomorrow. And then the whole Ekev is about the reward today. The Rambam famously teaches that the actual reward for mitzvahs is in the world to come, and all benefit in this world is not a reward. It's just a way to stir those who serve Hashem to be able to continue their path. So all the goodness that Hashem promises us, whether it's children, whether it's livelihood, whether it's health, it's not the actual reward. It's just Hashem creates the environment that if we serve Him, we'll be able to continue to serve Him and serve Him with even greater capacity. So it's not technically the schar, but it's just the ability to continue serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one's desired path. On the other hand, if a person does not choose to serve Hashem, so Hashem removes the resources that we would be able to serve Him. Okay, but the first point of the Malbim is that Hashem is emphasizing that the Yehudei HaTorah, the word Yehudei means the promises of the Torah, are for this world as opposed to other religions. Anoichi noisein lefneichem hayoim. Now, the Malbim has an amazing diuk. The diuk is like this. Es habiracha. It doesn't say im tishma'u el mitzvayis Hashem lekechem. It doesn't say the blessing will be if you listen. It says es habracha asher tishma'u, that you listen. As opposed to the klala, the klala is im loisishma'u, then you're going to get a patch. Why is it that when it comes to the bracha, it seems like the bracha is that you listen? It almost sounds like schar mitzvah, mitzvah. The reward for a mitzvah is the ability to do a mitzvah. Says the Malbim something, ayam v'noira. Ready for this? Let's say a master says to a servant, if you wake up at 5 a.m. and you mow the lawn and you clean the floors and you get my slippers ready and you prepare my breakfast, then I'll give you X, Y, and Z. Then I'll give you $100. Is the $100 intrinsically connected to the performance of those services? Are the $100 intrinsically connected to the fact that he mowed the lawn and he prepared the breakfast and he got his slippers ready? It's not intrinsically connected. It's dependent on the choice of the master. The master happened to have chosen to agree to give X, Y, and Z to the servant if the servant provides these services. But it's not like the services inherently, intrinsically afford the servant the ability to receive the $100, as opposed to a doctor. If a doctor says, listen, if you sleep well and you eat healthy and you exercise, then you'll have good health. But if you eat poorly and have poor sleep habits and you don't move, then you won't be healthy. Is the health an external reward for eating well and sleeping well and exercising, and the bad health like some kind of superimposed punishment that the doctor says, you're going to be punished. If you eat too many jelly beans, you're not going to be healthy. It's not an external punishment. It's intrinsic to the activities the person engaged in. So there, it's not like, you know, you go to a carnival if you go to the skee ball machine, right, and you get a certain amount of tickets, then you could cash them in. And you could buy something less, you could earn something less expensive than the cost of the ticket itself. It's an external reward. It's a arbitrary reward. Not so the mitzvahs of the Torah, not so the reward for mitzvahs. The Malbim says something amazing. Let's say somebody wakes up in the morning and they put on talis and they put on tefillin and they have a field. So Hashem is saying that because you served me, it's going to rain. Could someone possibly explain what connection is there between wrapping leather straps on your arm and the water cycle and the weather cycle? Because you wrapped tefillin on your arm, therefore water began to evaporate from lakes and oceans. It then rose up into the heavens. It formed clouds and it condensed and it precipitated. What does one thing have to do with the other? The answer is Ribbono Shel Olam set up the world that even though we don't understand it or maybe we don't perceive it, but Hashem linked the happenings of the world and the phenomena of the world to our mitzvahs. Our mitzvahs literally control the stock market. People think it's arbitrary. Or, you know, you have to ask Warren Buffett to prognosticate what the stock market will be like. No, it's actually linked. If you want to know, it's linked to the Avodas Hashem of the Jewish people. It is. It's dependent on us. It's dependent on us. We believe that our service of the Almighty controls the economy, the weather, health, peace. All of these things are direct. The analogy the Malbim says, I think what he's saying is, I think there's a phenomenon that if you have different instruments in a room, and let's say you pull on a harp, if you pull on a small harp, it will cause vibrations in the bigger harp. Luckily, there are no musicians here, and nobody's going to contradict this phenomenon. But I think the Malbim says that, I'll read to you his words, Ad sheha'olam hagadol ne'erach l'umas ha'adam. The whole big world is arranged opposite man. Shehu ha'olam ha'katan. Like what? You ready for the analogy? Kishnei klei zemer. Like two instruments. Ha'ne'erachim b'seder miyuchad. That are arranged in a special format. Uve'erach miyuchad. Shehanevel hagadol yashmiya kol zmirois kol simcha oy kol otsev l'umas zmirois ha'nevel ha'katan. It's a well-known phenomenon that if you have two harps set up and you pull on the small harp and you have somebody who calibrates, that's a good word, the big harp corresponding to the small harp, the vibrations will actually affect the other instrument. So the way the Ribbono Shel Olam set up the world is he calibrated that our tefillah, wearing tefillin, wearing tzitzis, saying Kriya Shema, learning Torah, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, is actually plugged into the universe. This is basically what we said on Tisha B'Av, that the reason why if Titus HaRasha does a terrible sin in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and has no effect on the universe is because he's not calibrated into the universe. He's not plugged into the system. Masha'ein Kein a Jew, even the thoughts of a Yid are connected to the system. So if a person has proper thoughts, it brings blessing to the whole world. So it comes out that the reward for mitzvahs is not superimposed, it's intrinsic to the performance of the mitzvahs. Says the Malbim, that's why it says, Es HaBracha Asher Tishma'u. That which you listen to Hashem itself is the bracha. Al techashvu shehaschar v'ha'oinesh hu davar shechutz me'amaseh. Don't think reward is like a ticket. You know, you have the Rebbe walking around the room, and whatever kid shouts the Berachas Hamazon on the top of his lungs more than the other kid, he gets more tickets. We think that reward is like tickets. You know, we do tefillin, and then Hashem's going to give us a superimposed ticket. No, it's intrinsic. The tefillin is calibrated into the stock market. So when you put on the tefillin, the points go up. Now, it doesn't mean you see it that day. It doesn't mean it's apparent it's not as clearly visible as that. But that's how the Ribbono Shel Olam calibrated the world. So therefore, when it comes to the mitzvahs, it's es habracha asher tishmu al mitzvos Hashem Elokeichem. But besides that, the Malbim says there's also a superimposed blessing that when you go to Har Bracha, the Kohanim are going to be Mevarech Es Ha'am. That's outside of the intrinsic blessing of the mitzvahs, as opposed to Klala. Klala is superimposed. The Klala will be Im Loi Sishmu El Mitzvahs Hashem Elokeichem. Even though the Vilna Gaon teaches that when a person does an Avera, the Avera itself creates an entity that comes back to punish a person. So actually, the Vilna Gaon teaches that when it comes to reward, it's coming directly from Hashem. When it comes to punishment, it's not directly from Hashem. It's the Avera that you create brings the Oinish to the person. Okay, now we come to one of my favorite Malbims. Perk Yud Beis Pasuk Hei. Ki im el hamakayim asher yivcha Hashem lekechem mikol shivtechem lasum es shemay sham. It's talking about breaking all of the places of idolatry in Eretz Yisrael, cutting down the trees. Don't do that. Ta Hashem lekechem mean don't break anything in the Beis HaMikdash. Actually, there's a lav. You know, if you're in a shul, sometimes people have a habit. They like to chip off things. You ever see, like, you know, they have some pews. You know, the pews, it's like peelable. You know, you scratch it. It's actually a lav. You're not allowed in a shul chip or break off little pieces, because that's the lav of loisasun kein l'Hashem l'keichem. The lav that we have in the Beis HaMikdash applies to the Beis HaKnesses as well. Okay, then the pasuk is like this. Ki im el hamakayim asher yivcha Hashem l'keichem. Only the place that Hashem chooses. Mikol shivtechem. L'asum Hashem Aisham. By the way, what's that place? What does the pasuk mean? Only the place Hashem chooses. What's that place? The Beis HaMikdash. Now, at this point in history, do we know where it is? We have absolutely no idea where it is. Why? Because Hashem didn't tell us. It could be, you know, in Machne Yehuda. It could be in Romema. It could be in Har Tzion. It could be anywhere. We don't know where it is. Hashem didn't tell us. It says the place that Hashem will choose. You need to go to the place Hashem will choose. So then the pasuk says, L'shichnai Sidrashu. Seek out His dwelling place, Uvas Hashama, and go there. This pasuk is a stira meneu bei. It just said, you know where you're going to go? The place that Hashem will choose. Okay, do we know where that is? We don't know where that is. So it says, L'shichnoi sidrushu, seek out the, well, seek out the place. He didn't tell us where it is. How do you seek out a place that you don't know where it is? Go to the wedding. But I first need an invitation to know where it is to go to the wedding. It's very hard to go to a wedding if you don't know what hall it's in. You ever try that? I do it a couple times a week. Oh, I have a wedding now. Where is it? You know, is it in the Sands? Is it in Mataleya? Is it in the Palace? Is it in what is that place in Mataleya? Breakstone? Or is it in, you know, Lakewood? It makes a difference, you know? Makes a difference. If it's in Lakewood, you need to like get a helicopter or something. It's actually easier to go to Israel than to go to Lakewood. So it's very hard to go somewhere if you don't know where it is. How could the pasuk say l'shichnoi sidrashu ubas hashama? Says the Malbim, an amazing Malbim. Truth is, I quote it very often. Bechol makoim koirei makoim hamikdash makoim asher yivchar Hashem. Throughout the whole Chumash, the mikdash is called the place Hashem chose. Why? Ki nizvada al yedei navi. Because it will be made known through the prophet. Shu makoim hanivchar, that it's the chosen place. Kemasha kasav vayavoi God el David. David, God came to David and he said to David, here, the Mikdash will be here. V'chein amar b'har ha-maria asher nera l'David avihu. So if the Mikdash is the makam asher yivchar Hashem, says the Malbim, nevertheless, b'kol zeh matzanu she-David darash acharei ha-makam. David searched for the place. even though, second, video crisis, 1 second. What happened? Oh. That's what happened. Shkaya. Even though David was told that the Navi will tell him, David still searched for the place. What is it? How do we know David searched for the place? Anybody remember the pasuk in Tehillim, from which we learned that David searched for the place? Ad emtza makayim l'Hashem. Until David said, I won't rest until I find a place for Hashem. What do you mean, until I find a place for Hashem? It's not up to him. He's not finding the place for Hashem. Hashem's going to tell him. No. Lahimten ad shaba eilav ha-Navi. He didn't wait until the Navi came to him. Where did David get this from? Where did David learn from that if the Torah says Hashem's going to choose it, he shouldn't just sit there and twiddle his thumbs and wait until he gets the memo? David didn't wait until he got the memo. David was saying, I'm not going to rest until I find a place. Where did he learn that from? He learned it from this pasuk. The pasuk says, L'shichnai sidrashu, you need to seek it out. Says the Malbim, V'lamad mimashikasav l'shichnai sidrashu. What does it mean to be doiresh? Shehadrisha hi mashachoyker ba'atzmai limtza esadavar. You need to do investigations yourself to look for it. V'zeh shekasav droish umetzai. Lamad lohem, David taught, Shala Yagala, now listen very carefully. Shala Yagala Hashem Soidai Al Yidei Neviyav Lahidiya Makam Anifkar. What the pasuk is saying is Hashem, of course, will never know where the Makam HaMikdash should be until Hashem tells us. But Hashem's not gonna tell us. Rakim Yishtadel Bazeh, unless we make efforts, Vyidrushu Acharav. When we make efforts, Az Ya'ara Aleyam Ruach Mimroimim, Hashem will pour a spirit from on high, Acharei Ha'achana Ruya, after the appropriate preparation. In other words, until God gives us the memo that this is the place, we don't know where the place is. The thing is, you'll never get the memo until you take initiative. Now, the Malbim is not clear. He doesn't say what David needed to do or what David did. It seems like David accorded himself in a way that he was so interested in determining where the Makam HaMikdash should be that he learned about it, he spoke to people about it, it bothered him that he didn't know where it was. And the same thing applies in our time as well. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah on the Pasuk, that we need to be doiresh the Beis HaMikdash. We said many times, doiresh means, said from the Chafetz Chaim and Reb Chaim Knievsky, who are two Orthodox rabbis, that doiresh means you have to be toiveya the Beis HaMikdash. Not to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, would it be a good time maybe to bring the Beis HaMikdash out? Now, okay, sorry, I'm sorry I bothered you. No, you have to demand it. You have to seek it out. We want it now. We need it. But its source, the idea, the whole concept of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, of Miklal Deboi Drisha, is the Malbim understands, is learned down from this pasuk. And this was the derech of David HaMelech. Even though David knew, he can't just build a Beis HaMikdash. He can't just say, you know, I want to build a Beis HaMikdash, so I'm going to, this looks like a nice area. He can't do anything until he gets the word from on high. But you're not going to get the memo until you actively seek it out. There's a very interesting parallel to this in the Tosfos Yom Tov in Masechta Midos. Tosfos Yom Tov says in the beginning of Midos, what is Masechta Midos? It is a Masechta about the dimensions of second Beis HaMikdash. Not the third Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. Says the Tosfos Yom Tov, if you look in the Navi Yechezkel talks about how to build the third Beis HaMikdash, but there is a lot of uncertainty and ambiguity about how to build the third Beis HaMikdash. Ultimately, we're going to need Ruach HaKodesh to be able to have the clarity of how to do it. But says the Tosfos Yom Tov, the Ribbono Shel Olam will not give over to the Jewish people and give us the Ruach HaKodesh that we would need to build the third Beis HaMikdash unless we apply ourselves to understand how they built the second Beis HaMikdash. And once we do that, once we show the initiative that we're doing what is incumbent upon us to understand how do they build the second Beis HaMikdash, how do the Psukim in Yecheskel fit into that, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will be ma'ir us mimaroim to understand how to build the third Beis HaMikdash. But that's clearly the concept that the Malbim is saying, is that there are two forces. Ultimately, it's makom asher yivchar Hashem, but that bechira will not take place until it's l'shichnoi sidrashu. We're going to have to seek it out. So it comes out that this was the phenomenon that happened in times of David. David was looking, he was doiresh, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam told him, al yidei God, this is something we need to do, that we need to be doiresh, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam will be yivchar. And the Tosfos Yom Tov understands that's the tachlis of Masechta Midos, that by learning the measurements of Bayesheni, it's a way of showing the Ribbono Shel Olam we're being doiresh, and then he'll give us the spirit from on high to understand how to build the Bayis HaShlishi. Have a great day, everyone. Bracha v'atzlacha. Shkayach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.